God didn't just save you, right? He brought you into a family. He brought you into his family as his child, as his son, as his daughter. He didn't just save you from punishment. He brought you in as one of his own. You are born again into a living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and abounding in hope. For many, baptism was the first opportunity to publicly proclaim this hope of an eternity with their loving Father in paradise. You know, baptism is not a way to get into heaven. We don't get baptized to get into heaven. There's no work we could ever do that could pay the price for our sins. We can't add to anything that Jesus did on the cross. But baptism is a step of obedience in following the example of Jesus himself as he was baptized in obedience to his Father. And this hope we have, it's not a fleeting hope. It's not a passing fancy. It's a hope that doesn't disappoint us. Maybe you've never had this hope. Maybe you've only had disappointments in all of your life. And I pray that today that you'd see that God, the God who created you, is the God who loves you so very much that he sent his own son to die for you, that you might be able to call him Daddy. You might be able to call him Abba, Father. So hope that doesn't disappoint. Romans 5, verses 2 to 5. Let me read this to you. Through him we have also obtained by access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in your glory. We thank you for the hope that you give us as your children, not just the hope to get through this day, not just the hope to get through these days, but the hope that at the end of all days that we will be with you, pure and without sin and in your presence and understanding and recognizing your glory and how it permeates through all of creation. Thank you, Father, for revealing yourself to us that we don't need to try to figure things out. We can just come to you and seek you, and you'll give us wisdom to understand. And I thank you that we can come to your word today and that you'll teach us and instruct us and grow us closer to understanding that love you have for us and your Son. Amen. So these verses in Romans 5, 2-5, you know, this is a great picture of the saint. This is a great picture of the disciple of Jesus. Look at verse number 2. The key word in there, and I mentioned before, is faith. This is a faith in what God does. This isn't a faith in what we do. It's certainly not a faith in what our parents do. You know, these young men today aren't being baptized today because of their parents' faith, but because of their own personal faith in Jesus Christ, that they were personally and individually saved by him and saved through him. You know, the saints of old heard the prophecies of the Messiah. They heard of the one who would be sent, and they look forward in faith to the fulfillment of those prophecies. You know, we can look back at what he did as a historical fact. His death for our sin, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection as the firstborn of the dead, who's the way into our eternal life. You know, baptism, it's an outward picture of what's going on in the inside. Flip the page over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. Paul says that we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. And we'll talk about that. When they actually get baptized, we're going to say they're buried in the likeness of his death. Right? Buried in the baptism of death. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then they come out of the water as a symbol of their desire to walk in that newness of life. You know, we baptize by immersion as a symbol of Christ's burial and resurrection. We identify with Christ and we proclaim our identity in Christ through this public baptism. Let's go back to Romans 5 in those verses 2 to 5. Through faith, we're able to stand in the grace of God. Through faith in what Jesus did, we can stand in the grace of God. Not under his judgment as those who will be condemned, but we can stand in his grace, his unmerited favor. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, maybe some of you young ones are hoping for a certain special Christmas present to be showing up. Maybe some of you not so young ones are hoping for a certain special Christmas present to show up. But then when you get through the last package, when you've gotten the last wrapping turned over, and that present isn't there, do you get disappointed? Do you get disappointed because your hope was in something that was fleeting, something that wasn't sure, something that wasn't certain? You're hoping for something that wasn't a sure thing. As a Christian, our hope is in the surest thing of all creation. As a Christian, our hope is in the surest thing of all time. Our hope is in the surest thing of all eternity. It's in the glory of God. Our hope is in the glory of God. Not in what we're going to do, not in how we're going to get through this life, not in what we're going to receive, not in what we're going to experience in this life, but in his glory. Our hope is in a passing or fading wishful thinking, like the hopes of this world. It's a sure hope. It's a certain hope of the God whose love for you is infinite and eternal. Our hope in everything is that we're going to be basking in his glory that doesn't fade and actually illuminates all of heaven. And we look forward to that. And that's what our hope is in. Verse 5 tells us that this love, his love, has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God gave us the Holy Spirit when we were saved, and he poured out his love through the Holy Spirit. It was poured into our hearts. Now, I think about this, God's love being poured into my heart. And I had an illustration in my mind, but with new carpet, taking a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot and filling a thimble seemed to be something a little too dangerous, right? But that's what God's love is like, right? That we're taking a 5-gallon bucket of God's love and pouring it into our thimble. That's his love being poured into our life. Or maybe taking a fire hose and trying to fill up a coffee cup. That's like what it is to have God's love pouring into our heart through his Holy Spirit. Or even on this day of a baptism, thinking of Narragansett Bay coming into this baptismal tub. That's what God's love is like as it's being poured into and filling us. He's not, like when I'm pouring milk around the dinner table, I'm making very certain I don't spill anything. His love is overflowing, exceedingly abundant as it comes into us. This is the picture we have of his love being poured into us. You know, in Romans 8, Paul expresses the depth of his love, the great love for God's children. He says that I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Connor and Brennan, they're going to be having challenges as they go through their life, but they're never going to be separated from the love of God. As a follower of Jesus, you'll never be separated either. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in them. He's claimed them. He's sealed them. And he's going to sustain them even as they face the challenges and even the sufferings that go on in this life. Look at verse number 3. But we rejoice in our sufferings because of that hope we have in the glory of God, not in our comfort. Because the hope we have in the glory of God, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope will never disappoint us because it's in the right thing. It's in God. You know, Connor and Brennan are going to be coming up here after I pray. And they're going to be sharing their own testimonies about how they've come to trust in Jesus for their salvation. And I think about that. Coming forward publicly to proclaim your faith in Jesus is a thing that's only done by the Holy Spirit, that they're not ashamed to share about Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you should be encouraged by their testimony, the work of God that's going on in their lives. You should be remembering your own testimony, maybe even your own baptism and that opportunity you had to proclaim and testify to your faith. Trust me, you still have opportunities to proclaim and testify to your faith. But if you're not yet a Christian, if you haven't yet put your trust in Christ, you should be challenged to put your trust in Christ alone, to put aside the hopes of the passing and decaying things of this world and to look forward to a hope that doesn't disappoint us. Let me pray, and then we'll have Connor and Brenna come up here. Father God, we just thank you that you give us such visible reminders of what you're doing in the heavenlies, what you're doing in our hearts, how you're saving people and calling them to be your own, taking captives from the kingdom of darkness and transferring them to the kingdom of light because of what your Son did on the cross. I pray, Father, a blessing on Connor and Brendan, that even as they come forward to proclaim your name, that you would glorify yourself in them and all things in their lives. And we just thank you for this opportunity for testimony. In your Son's name, amen. Amen. Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith.
When I was six, I made the choice to repent of my sins and put my faith.
Mr. Bob's the expert.
When I was six, I made the choice to repent of my sins and put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. I don't remember a lot about that day except for what my mom and dad have told me. I heard a lot about heaven and hell, and I wanted to know how I could go to heaven when I die. My mom and me talked about how we are all sinners, and the punishment for sin is death and separation from God forever, but that Jesus died in my place so that I could be with God forever. Romans 5:5-8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love to us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We prayed together, and I asked God to forgive me of my sins. He told Jesus I wanted to follow him. After a while, I started to become more interested in worldly things. I wasn't paying much attention to Jesus, who I had committed to follow. I became convicted of my idolatry, and in time, God helped me to let go of it and seek him. I started doing devotions and listening for what God wants to teach me. I thought that I would be miserable giving up the worldly things I was so attached to, but instead God gave me contentment and joy. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you."
Around 5 years old, I learned about God's love for me and how he gave his Son Jesus for me. I prayed with my dad, asking God to forgive me for my sins and telling him that I wanted to follow him. I know that God cares about me and I can always go to him in prayer. When I have a problem, A verse I wanted to share with you is John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I chose this verse because it means a lot to me. God saved the world in his own way, which was through Jesus, his Son.
All right, these guys are going to go get changed while we sing a song. Here we go.
Isn't that sermon we just heard as exciting as it gets? Glory be to God.